Welcome to Business Beat. Here, each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Bend, Missouri. I'm Christopher Houston. In recent months, a fairly severe drought and a slowly recovering economy have thrown food businesses for a loop. Coming up, we'll listen in on a conversation Abby Fentress-Swanson had with President Barack Obama's top agriculture guy about the looming dip in corn exports. But first, some businesses have been able to weather the storm better than others. Jennifer Davidson has this report about one successful shop in West Plains, Missouri.
On East Main Street, Meadowbrook Natural Foods sits sandwiched between an insurance agency and a title company. When you step inside, the aroma of spices, herbs, and vitamins hits you. This store is owned and run by Joe and Adele Voss, who met later in life as random partners at a square dancing lesson.
We've got baking items and snack items and pastas and grains and flours and cereals and nuts and dried fruits.
I have to wait a while before Adele can break away for a moment to speak to me. I ask her if her store is always this busy.
Some days it'll stay like this all day. Some days we have some quiet time. We can get some other things done, like placing orders to restock the shelves.
She says other than that first summer of the recession, the summer of 2009, when they saw a dip in sales, the store has maintained steady profits throughout the economic downturn.
No matter the economy, they're still going to want their natural supplements and their health foods.
Because people need to eat, and people that want natural stuff want natural stuff. It's that simple.
Joe Voss is co-owner of the store.
My mother used to always say that during the Great Depression, if you had a job, there was no depression.
It's true that specialty food stores, like organic food stores, have been pegged as one of the recession-proof industries. But for the most part nationwide, that's because the people buying those products had above-average incomes and weren't hurting that much from the recession. And incomes in the rural Ozarks tend to be way below average. It was time to consult the experts to explain this phenomenon. Ardeshir Dalal is the chair of the economics department at Missouri State University. He says two things to consider when pinpointing recession-proof industries are whether income is a factor and the extent to which people view those goods as being replaceable. So, a quick economics lesson. What we're looking at here is what economists call goods for which there's a relatively inelastic demand.
That is where people want to buy the commodity and will probably continue to buy those commodities even if there are fluctuations in, even if prices were to go up, they wouldn't reduce their consumption of those goods by too much.
Dalal says even though some people are very passionate about organic food, money usually takes precedence over passion when it comes to substituting products like food. So in a lower income area like South Central Missouri, he's betting that the alternative medicines and supplements have significantly helped pull this store through. Another curveball in this case, though, is a clientele with very specific needs. Again, store owner Joe Voss.
We have a large number of Seventh-day Adventists who live in this area, and they tend to go toward the vegetarian approach. And so that really works well with Natural Food Store.
Seventh-day Adventists generally follow the Old Testament's dietary guidelines. They don't eat pork or any food considered unclean. Also, many members of the Sabbath-keeping Russian community just north of West Plains, which is about 500 people strong, frequent this store often. Sue Baird, chair of the not-for-profit Missouri Organic Association, told KSMU she isn't surprised to hear of a natural food store doing so well in the recession, even though it's in an economically depressed part of the country. Her take on it is that people in this part of the Ozarks have been leaders for a long time in preserving the water supply and forestry, and that it's not a far jump from being concerned about those issues to being concerned about the purity of your food supply. I'm Jennifer Davidson.
Now, things aren't so peachy for everyone in the food industry, clearly. The U.S. Department of Agriculture expects corn exports to be at a 40-year low in 2013 due to a domestic corn shortfall thanks to the drought. Harvest Public Media's Abby Fentress-Swanson spoke to Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack about how this deficit in corn exports will affect U.S. farm exports in the coming year.
I saw in the USDA's latest outlook for U.S. agricultural trade that American farm exports will be $145 billion in the next fiscal year. Yet corn exports are expected to be at a record low due to the drought. Are other grain exports making up for the reduction in corn?
Well, we continue to have a broad array of agricultural products that are exported, which is why the overall number is higher. That includes not just grain, but also livestock. Our livestock numbers continue to be strong. Our specialty crop numbers continue to be strong. Soybeans continue to be strong. Wheat continues to be strong. So any one commodity can go down when others are going up. The overall message, however, is that exports over the last 3 years have increased by 50%. And that is the challenge for us, to continue to grow exports at a time when we have uncertainty about the passage of a food, farm, and jobs bill that provides the Department of Agriculture with the resources to promote exports.
And before I get to the farm bill, which I will in a second, I'm wondering, what's your take on our foreign competitors like Brazil, Argentina, and Ukraine ramping up their own robust grain markets, and pork and poultry producers in the U.S. for the first time importing grain from these countries? Is there any danger in the American farmer losing out long term?
No. I mean, the challenge here, obviously, is it is a competitive circumstance we find ourselves in from an agricultural perspective. But, you know, American agricultural quality and affordability are well known throughout the world. As long as we can continue to promote agricultural exports, then we're going to continue to be able to compete. As long as we continue to negotiate free trade agreements similar to those that were established this year with Korea, Panama, and Colombia, we're going to continue to expand market opportunities. So I have no doubt that we're going to continue to have strong exports, assuming that we have the resources at USDA to continue to provide assistance with trade shows and promotion.
And talking about that and talking about the farm bill, what's your thought on where we are? Do you think it's going to pass very quickly, or will it be extended?
Well, I think there are two issues here. First of all, whether or not the House Agricultural Committee and the House representatives can pass a farm bill, and whether or not they can reach consensus with the Senate about differences that might exist between the House and Senate version. I am hopeful that that's going to get done, because last week, House leaders and Senate leaders met with me in my office, and I think all of them agreed to work on the differences that exist between the two proposals. And I'm convinced that with a little bit of work and good faith, that they can work out their differences so that if, and this is the second consideration, if and when there is an agreement between the House, the Senate, and the President on the fiscal cliff, the Farm Bill can just simply be attached to that legislation and get passed before the end of the year.
That was U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack talking with Abby Fentschel-Swanson. And that will do it for Business Beat this week. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.